You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about board gaming the system in Massachusetts. We leave our Maui business series from last week and fly all the way to the other side of the United States, about as far away as you can, well, I guess Maine.
Nonstop.
No bathrooms. To Massachusetts. And specifically, we're going to start in a Boston suburb, Brookline, where Devin Trevelyan, a musician, brought back an old tradition many of us had thought had died out, or at least the guy who wrote this, my dad did. I knew a lot better. And that tradition is board games. And we'll talk about how Mr. Trevelyan did it and why his business is thriving. In addition to business tips, of course, we'll send you some travel tips and talk about some crazy tax laws from the past.
So I went back to Boston and Martha's Vineyards and happened to catch this great little place called Night Moves. That was spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, which I thought was a fantastic name for a game place.
Yeah, board games.
Yeah, really.
Sense.
So it's a board game cafe, and it has one location in Brookline and another one in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it started a few years ago by Devin Trevelyan, who graduated from Northeastern University with a double major, music and philosophy.
Hey, I got one of I double majored in unemployment as well. Drama and poetry.
You would think if you're going to major in music and philosophy, you're just going to write things like
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, right? Yeah, that would be great. That'd be great. Dylanism.
I don't think he did. He go to college?
No.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't think so. Anyway, he also Dylan also not Bob Dylan, but Dylan.
Other Dylan. Devin.
Devin, I'm sorry. Did I say Dylan?
Keep saying Dylan.
Devin also was a chess enthusiast with a 2,000 rating in competitive chess.
Whatever that means.
Whatever it is, it could do much better than I could do. Yeah. I don't even know I could get into four digits, but like a 200 or something.
You'd be a three.
I know. He started the company by creating a service where he would bring games to birthday parties and bar mitzvahs and all these little kids' things. And so he kind of figured, he said, well, wait a minute. If Muhammad can't go to the mountain will come to Muhammad. Or is it the other way around? It's the other way around, right?
I don't know. I've never read the Quran.
No, it was a saying. I don't even know if that's in the Quran. I think it was if the mountain can't come to Muhammad, Muhammad will go to the mountain or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he even went to the mountain. So who knows
Probably.
Where that saying came from.
There's
know.
Mountains there.
There is something about somebody going to a mountain.
Okay. So whoever.
Moses.
Comment on iTunes and tell us who went to the mountain.
That's right.
Thank you.
So anyway, his two passions that we were talking about were philosophy and music, but also as he had board games. And so in the Boston area, he set up a kind of like a symbiotic relationship with a retailer called Eureka Puzzle, and they sold games. So what they would do is that people would say, well, you know, I'd really like to buy this game. And Eureka would say, well, why don't you go on over to Night Moves and try it out?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, so you don't have to because I've been burned by this. Like, I like a lot of strategy-type mm-hmm. board games, and there's been a couple that have looked really good, and then I bought them, and the gameplay is garbage.
Yeah.
And I won't name them because I'm a good guy.
That's right. That's good.
No, it's very subjective.
So anyway, so Night Moves would have all these games, but you say, well, where do they get all these games? You know, it must be a big investment, you know, right? You know, they get these games. Well, what happened is that Eureka had this treasure trove of games that were even being used because they get all these free samples.
Yep. And you can't sell them.
You can't sell. Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you can't?
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't know.
I've seen sample games before, and it says, you know, these aren't for sale.
Okay. Oh, it may be a breach of contract. I don't know if it's illegal, but it'd be a breach of contract. But anyway, he would give the board games to Devin, who would then have people come by, you know, and they, you know, he'd charge, you know, people come in and play as a family and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he was able to use the inventory to open up his board game cafe. And he wanted a place where people can come and relax and have face-to-face interaction playing games of all types. And if you go in there, you go to our website, you'll see pictures. You'll see a picture of Devin. Mm-hmm. And you'll see there's a wall filled with games. I don't know how they can find it. Somebody says, yeah, I want to play Risk.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's not in alphabetical order. I know that because I'm staying next to A and I'm in the middle of it.
Well, they're usually divided. There's one in LA that I go to a lot, Glendale. They're usually divided by type of game.
Oh. Oh, boy. You so really got to know your games then.
You get like classic, like Monopoly. Uh-huh. There's a whole section with Sorry and Monopoly and all those classic ones. And then there's German Strategy and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, I asked him, I said, well, you know, the thing I have a problem with games at home is that we lose the game pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, that occasionally happens. And he said, but, you know, the people that come here are pretty cool because they don't mind, you know, substituting a game piece here and there.
No.
As long as they get to play. So you've done that too? You've seen that happen?
Oh, it's, yeah. The place that I go to all the time has a really cool thing where they give you, you can get signs from the front that say you're looking for players.
Uh-huh.
So if you know, you want to meet people and
really?
Do that, or you have four people and it's a five-person game, you can put up a little sign while you're having snacks or whatever, and some stranger will come up and be like, hey, you mind if I play with you? Or
now, if you're somebody of the older generations, like me, that's saying, all these kids do is look at their phones. And
which is hilarious, because old people look at their phones a lot, too.
I
know.
Everyone
looks at their phones.
Well, we have to look at it a lot closer and longer, because our eyesight's not as good.
Exactly. Well, I love the picture that I saw of how historically people have said, oh, young people never talk anymore, and it goes back to, like, 1800. It's like, oh, invention of the phone, no one's going to go talk to each other anymore.
Right.
Or, like, with the mail, no one's going to.
That's right, right. You know, it's something that's really is counterintuitive to the whole trend that we're doing with iPhones and all these different things, is that you're bringing it back to face-to-face and personalities and family time. And a lot of it's family time, too, because he gives discounts for families, Dylan. So, but he didn't stop there. Devin didn't stop there. What he did is he wanted to bring in his other passions, which were music and philosophy. So we provided live music and has philosophy talks.
That's great.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I know. And this, you know, this looks like, this reminds me a lot. You know, we were talking about Dylan, right?
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
This reminds me of like Greenwich Village in those little basements where they would have musicians playing and philosophy nights. Not philosophy night. What do you call that?
I don't know. Well, lecture?
Lecture. I don't know. You do poetry.
Yeah, you slam. You're looking for the word slam, a poetry slam.
Okay. Is that what I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So same thing. You know, I mean, it's people standing up, entertaining you with more than dancing or, you know, in front of you or and doing magic tricks. So, and then he also started hosting these mystery theme parties.
Ooh, I love those.
Yeah, that'd be
good. A mystery dinner.
And lastly, he opened up a little cafe where he'd serve food, snacks. Now, we're not talking about a full-blown restaurant. He told me, he said, you know, we got one person that's doing this. You know? And so they're like, I'll take a hot dog. He said, oh, great. You know, and they get around to it. If getting the people see like that, okay, about 15, 20 minutes later, get your hot dog.
Yeah.
And people
it's
are cool with that.
To do while you're playing games.
Yeah, they don't have people going, where's my food?
No.
But, you know, if you look at our pictures on our website, you'll see that it's like shaped like an old soda jerk thing. Which with the old handles and that whole thing, the mirror in the background, all the glasses,
ice cream parlor,
right? Like with your grandmother, who is proud to say she was a soda jerk when she was a teenager.
Yeah, she doesn't like to be called any other.
Back in the 19,
back in 2001, when her grandma was 20.
That's right. She actually did that. So, but he had that too. So anyway, Devin had to get the word out. So what better way to get the word out than to put your game cafe in a place where there's schools, both high schools and colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot of people coming in there, and that's great. You know, if you're a parent, for example, listening to this and you're saying, you know, I'm listening to this podcast in my car, where's my daughter? Yeah. Where's my teenage daughter? I don't know where she's at.
They might be in a games cafe playing D&D, so watch out.
But, I mean, that would be a great place, you know, if you're a parent that keeps – and we clip close tabs on you guys. At least we try to.
Ha-ha! You fools.
You know what I learned just the other week?
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble.
all four of you guys climbed out the window onto the balcony to escape at night.
Oh, that's untrue. I didn't climb out the balcony. I'm afraid of heights. I just walked out the back door.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
I would never climb off the back.
Well, your two brothers and Amber did. Yeah. So they.
I don't have the upper body strength to get back up, so I just leave the back door unlocked. That's what I do.
Yeah, so yeah, it doesn't always work to try to keep tabs on your kids when they're climbing out of their bedroom windows in the second story.
Until they start RFID chipping children. And then,
So anyway, Devin had, I was thinking calling Dylan. So we started the whole thing with
Bob Dylan. I think he would appreciate that.
I know.
He's a philosopher.
I know. So Devin he built this thing around their schools, and he started pricing it by the hour or by the month.
Oh, that's a great idea. You get like a monthly membership.
Yeah. I think it was like $200, and I think it was like unlimited or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like a family. You come in there so many times.
Oh, wow.
And though they would have, you know, hassle-free entertainment and a chance to spend some time with your family, and everybody would have their favorite games. Or, I mean, gosh, look at all the games that you can play.
It's nice to get out of the house. I mean, like, I'm definitely an inside person who loves board games, mm-hmm. but it's nice to go somewhere else with bigger tables, because that's a big thing with a lot of these games. You need a huge, ridiculously big table. And, you know, get coffee while you're doing it, and, you know, have a good sit-down and a nice couch.
Well, you know, the last thing I want to say about this story is that I was in there, and it was before they opened. And but when they, I saw you know, pictures when they opened, they're packed.
Yeah.
Some nights they're packed, and they have people waiting outside in line to get in, which is amazing. And you're talking about Boston.
Yeah.
You know, you hope they're not waiting in the cold. You know, but how I found them is there was a number of articles in local magazines about them.
Wow.
You know, and when I go to, when we travel to different cities in Rambling Business, we look at unusual businesses. In many places, what I'll do is I'll go to articles online. Sometimes I will go to the visitor center, like the tourist center,
mm-hmm.
and I'll say, what's a unique business in this town? And everybody knows them. They go, oh, yeah, you got to go and try this one or that one.
Cool place.
Yeah. And so that's how I found them. I found them online. It was like 10 of the most unusual businesses in Boston or something like that. So, or unique businesses. And so I went there, and he was a great guy. I really enjoyed meeting him, and found about something that you like.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales.
Woo.
And this one is a hack that I would have loved to have. It's a little past now. It comes from 2003 in Texas. But until 2003, all of the time before that, donuts had different taxes. If you bought 5 or less donuts, it was tax exempt. But 6 or more were not.
Yeah. So I guess if you could put one on each finger.
Uh-huh. That's what it's for.
You're okay.
That was what the law was called. It was called donut fingers. Donut fingers law. No. But what would stop you from going in, getting 5 donuts, and then walking out and coming back in and getting 5 more donuts?
The donut police.
Well, if what they say is true, then they would
they're
be
always
there.
They're already there.
You know why that is?
Why?
Why the stereotype of police with donuts? Because it's a thing that keeps well on stakeouts.
Oh, okay.
You'd have it in the back. It would, you know, it doesn't need to be hot, doesn't get cold, and you can keep eating it while you're on stakeout. Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you how you can find cool, interesting things in the Boston area this time. And first, there's a lot of trips for Boston, but it's a very famous, big city, lot of history, you know.
Freedom
Trail and all that.
Yeah.
But one that's often overlooked is not only is there a lot of history there, there's a lot of scholastic history there, specifically in Harvard. Now, most people, you know Harvard exists over there, But the university, along with its colleges like Radcliffe, is an open campus. You can stroll through very beautiful old grounds that are just, you know, you can feel the history there. There are sometimes guided tours as well, where someone, usually a student walking backwards, will tell you about all the cool history. And there is so much history there at the university in the most unlikely places, like its library. It's a great addition that a lot of people miss when they go to Boston.
You know, your mom had a conference at Radcliffe, which was an all-woman school that was combined or acquired by Harvard.
Incorporated.
And they had the final cookout. It was a crab fest.
Nice.
It was outside on the grounds.
On the ground?
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah, the crabs were in the air, but yeah, on the ground. Yeah, on the grounds. And so it was a really cool place, really open. And you know, you just sit there and you just look at all the architecture and the buildings
all
surrounding you.
Brick and
yeah,
all that.
It's really cool.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what specific things you can do to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. And the first thing to do is, we've definitely talked about this before, but it's always good hammering in, start with your passions. As the old saying goes, choose a job that you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Attributed to both Confucius, Mark Twain, and many, many other people.
And guys in bars. And
so pretty good. Motivational posters, you know, all sorts of stuff. But Devin, the guy that we talked about today, enjoyed board games, music, and philosophy, and he found a good way to get those all together and he found a way to get people to listen to philosophy lectures, and that in itself is a business miracle.
I wonder if you walk over and pick up a game piece and just start philosophizing about it, you know, like the little shoe in Monopoly.
Well, there's a lot of game pieces that have skulls in them, so you could do that Shakespeare soliloquy.
The second takeaway is, buck the trend. Just because something has been out of demand style for decades, for example, doesn't mean that it won't cycle back. And I'll tell you, I cannot believe how many things have cycled back. Bell bottoms, right? Well, yeah, you think I was wearing bell bottoms in the 60s, but my dad was wearing them in the Navy in the early 50s.
So that they can get out of their clothes in
That's
the
right,
water. That's
right.
What bell bottoms are for.
And so, you know, there's so many things that have cycled around, and music especially.
Yeah, everyone thinks of 50s when they think of board games.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So people sitting
Shoots
in
and
their,
ladders.
In their bomb shelters.
Right. Shoots and Ladders. You ever play that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you ever play Mousetrap?
Uh-huh. That was terrible to set up. But
no. You don't play the game. You just set up the mousetrap and watch the ball run around.
Yeah, just once.
That's right.
That knock-up one where they smush grapes.
Oh, that's
right.
You like
make grapes out of Play-Doh?
That's right.
The third thing to think about is, you have to use all your available resources to meet a strict budget. Here, Devin used a game retailer that he had a relationship with and local schools, basically free advertising, together to get both the inventory of these expensive board games, which could be $60 a pop, and also jazz up demand by making advertisements at schools.
And the fourth and last point I'd like to tell you about is, focus on the needs of your customer and adjust accordingly. So in this case, you were talking about people were asking for food.
Or people were leaving the board game cafe to go get food somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Something. While you have a captive audience.
Right.
Listen to them.
So Devin brought in snacks and mystery theme events and music. And I wonder if they were asking for philosophy. Where's the philosophy in here? Where's the...
I want to talk about existential ideas.
That's right.
Now it's time to answer an email from one of our listeners. We've got a short one today from Shelley. Where can I find a good bookkeeper? Well, you need a bookkeeper. No, I'm too busy.
Good bookkeepers are really worth their weight in platinum.
Everyone goes for gold.
Nope, they've gotten more expensive now.
Mm-hmm. Not as flashy. That makes sense. Gold, very flashy. Platinum,
right. Underrated. That's right.
Just like bookkeepers.
But there are directories and indexes on the internet. You can find bookkeepers. But the best place really is a referral from another friend of yours or an acquaintance, because they've worked with
them. Business owner, you know, yeah.
But there's one big caveat, though. and that is that you should always do a background check on potential bookkeepers since they're handling your finances. There's a lot of background checks you could do online. You have to get their permission, their social security numbers, and things like that. But they look up and do a good job, and they're relatively cheap, like $30 or something like that, or $40, I don't know. But that's really important because I do know of clients who have had bookkeepers, and even bookkeepers that have worked with them, for them for years and years, who have stolen money.
I when I worked at a restaurant, a fancy restaurant, they had to fire a bookkeeper for filching, you know, for writing checks.
Really? I just don't know why people do that. Because I mean, as an accountant and somebody who's done fraud audits and stuff like that, it's so easy to catch. I don't know.
The reason why it seems harder to catch is because some of these small businesses only have one bookkeeper, and the manager or whoever owns the business is not so good with finances.
Yeah.
That's why they shopped it out. So,
yeah.
And by then, they're in Mexico living like a king. We'd like to thank some of our listeners for leaving iTunes comments and stars. We always appreciate them. The first is Bmreg.
BHMREG 1993.
Bombreg 1993.
Bombreg. What do you think that means?
Regular bombs, man.
Really? As opposed to irregular bombs?
Yeah. Oh, you want to get your bombs regular.
Oh.
When you're making your bombs, you want to get them real regular.
The second. The Homeland Security is going to be calling us up.
Hello, FBI. Hands up. So the second thing is review is from Mark in the Dark. Mark in the Dark. That's a little easier to turn on a light, Mark.
Well, we hope that our podcast kind of enlightens him a little bit.
Too much. Bad pun. But tune in next week when we continue our series on Boston and Martha's Vineyard by taking a ferry over to Martha's Vineyard itself. We'll start with an ancient raft.
Ancient craft.
This is not Contiki. I was thinking we were crossing over to Market Martha's Vineyard in a raft. That was where I got confused.
We're not going to make it.
The ancient craft of wood carving, which could be used to make a raft, I'm not that far off. We have a few unique businesses along with travel advice and a wacky tax tale as usual. Thank you for listening. I'm Brandon.
This is Rick. And thank you for letting us get into your business no matter where it is. See you next Tuesday.
Our music and podcast was produced by my brother, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out www.devinsnorris.com.